Macintosh Folklore Radio, written by Andy Hertzfeld and Company, and read by Derek Warren. Cut, Paste, and Crash, September 1983. One of the final parts of the Macintosh system software that needed to be finished before freezing the ROM code was the Clipboard Manager. This code facilitated the cutting and pasting of information between applications, providing simple function calls to access and manipulate the clipboard, a memory buffer that held the last piece of data that the user had cut or copied. The trickiest part of the Clipboard Manager was the way it managed memory when the user quit an application. Typically, the clipboard buffer stayed in the primary area of memory that was available to an application, known as the application heap. But when an application terminated, its application heap was deallocated in order to make way for the next application the user launched. The Clipboard Manager had to take special measures to preserve the clipboard during this interregnum when no application heap was available to hold it. Our first thought was to try writing the clipboard to disk when the user was between applications. This worked, but was problematic because the Macintosh didn't have a hard disk, and there were times when a floppy disk would be write-protected or completely absent. We also tried to copy the clipboard into the system heap, which persisted between applications, but the clipboard was often too large to fit. Ultimately, we solved the problem by copying the clipboard to the stack, a large area in high memory used to hold application variables and runtime state like return addresses. The clipboard would stay there until it was moved into the application heap of the newly launched application. A few weeks after the ROM was frozen, Apple put together a rollout presentation to introduce the sales team to all things Macintosh and prepare them to start selling the machine. There was the usual sales hoopla, but the highlight of the event was the first-person training, where each salesperson would get to try out a Macintosh for the first time. A teacher guided them through a simple demo which let them learn to use the mouse and then try out Mac Write, Mac Paint, and the Finder. The climax of the demo involved loading a Mac Paint document, selecting and copying part of it to the clipboard, and then launching Mac Write and pasting the image into a document. The kind of easy mixing of text and graphics that was very impressive in those days. Susan Kerr had drawn a terrific, detailed rendering of a sneaker for the Macintosh brochure, and we used the same graphic for the demo. I was invited to go to the sales presentation, but I couldn't because I was still working frantically with the rest of the software team to finish the software in time to ship the following January. One afternoon, I received a panicked phone call from one of the salespeople involved with the presentation. "We've got a problem," he told me. "The sneaker demo is crashing. Not all the time, though. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It's impossible to predict when it will happen, but when it does, the crash is really bad. As soon as you quit Mac Paint, the screen goes crazy and then it reboots. We're going to have to stop doing the cut and paste part of the demo unless you get us a fix soon." I hung up the phone and thought about it. I was describing the problem to someone when I suddenly stopped in mid-sentence and realized what was going on. After quitting the application, the Clipboard Manager would copy the clipboard to the stack. The Clipboard Manager subtracted the size of the clipboard from the stack pointer and then moved the memory into the allocated space. I saw that around half of the time, the size of the clipboard would be an odd number, which meant that we would end up setting the stack pointer to an odd number, a perversely horrible thing to do. The Macintosh's 68,000 microprocessor couldn't fetch memory from an odd address. It generated an error if you tried. The stack is used for the basic operation of the processor, including error handling. An odd stack pointer would drive the 68,000 crazy, recursively faulting as it tried to handle exceptions. The demo worked around 50% of the time, because statistically, the clipboard size would be an even number around 50% of the time. But the other half would facilitate the flamboyant crash that was being described. Once I understood what was going on, the fix was easy. Simply round up the clipboard size to an even number. Unfortunately, the errant code was in ROM, which was already frozen in immutable silicon. This was the first major bug that I knew of in the ROM, and I wondered if we were going to have to spin a new version. However, Larry Kenyon had already figured out a sneaky technique to fix ROM bugs by patching system traps. We had always figured we would replace entire buggy system calls in this fashion, but Larry thought of a finer-grained way to do it, by patching the first trap called before or after the problem area. We would essentially grab control any time the system was invoked, and then add code to fix the problems. I used Larry's technique to devise a patch that fixed the odd stack problem, and then he helped me incorporate it into the system file so it would load when the system booted. We made a floppy containing the new system file, which was flown out to the sales presentation with a sales manager who was leaving the next day. But it took a while for the fixed system file to proliferate to everyone, so for the next few weeks, I had to brace myself every time that I saw someone about to cut and paste between applications.